This is the Tech Talk podcast from RNIB.
Thanks for joining us, Tim. Now, I've seen a few of your tweets and Facebook posts about Amazon Audio Description, so you've obviously been trying it. What do you think?
Well, thank you for having me, Sean. You know what? So far, so good, quite honestly, with Amazon's video audio description in Prime Video. I've really enjoyed it. It's accessible and quite easy to use, actually.
So what have you tried it on? I mean, what devices have you actually got?
The only device I've used it on so far is my iPhone 7. I'm using the newest version, 10.3.3, I believe it is, as the iOS version, and just using the app on that iPhone. And like I said, I've used it with a couple different shows that are described, and then gone to other shows that aren't described and come back again, and the setting remains the same. And like I said, so far, so good.
Hey, Tim, Stephen here. So I'm completely confused by this. I mean, I'll be honest with you, right? I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I don't want to break that news. I'm sorry if you're shocked by this. But I'm not the smartest guy. I cannot find audio description on any of the programs. I've tried The Man in the High Castle. I've tried Bosch. But I just can't find it. What am I doing wrong?
The unfortunate thing right now, like Netflix when they first launched audio description, it is only in specific shows at this point. Most of, if maybe not all of them, I'm not sure, of their original programming with Amazon is described. It seems like it goes back to multiple seasons. And then only certain movies are described. And the unfortunate thing with that is a majority of them that I have found so far, the movies are not part of your Prime membership. So you have to actually purchase the movie separately. But what I've found is that unlike Netflix and even iTunes, where you have your settings, your accessibility settings, where you turn on audio description in the settings area, and then Netflix picks that up and automatically describes, does not seem that Amazon is picking that setting up by default. And so each show you go into, at least when you find one that you know is supposed to be described, you have to go into the audio and subtitles screen and turn audio description on. If you don't see it in there, then either A, it's just not described at this point, or B, what I have found talking to other people is, of course, do the old close the app out, close it out of App Switcher, maybe even restart your phone or device, go back in, and that does seem to take care of the problem with the audio description option not showing up in audio and captions.
I think that was a nice way of saying user error, Stephen.
I know what you're saying, Sean, right? I'm an idiot, and I get that. But here's the thing. There are other people out there who are not idiots, and you know, those people are, you know, just wanting to watch TV with audio description. And what Tim's talking about there, you know, it sounds, Tim, like it just seems very complicated. You know, Netflix, you know, you just turn on audio description, and let's be honest, it had a bit of a bumpy start, but it got there, and I'm sure Amazon will be the case as well. The problem with Amazon though is that there are so many different devices you can get the content on. You know, smart TVs, for example, or the Fire Stick. I mean, the Fire Stick's a great example, actually. I've got that. It's fully accessible through VoiceView software. When I go into a program, I can't even find an audio and subtitles menu using VoiceView because it's just not accessible yet. It's not really great, is it? I mean, they've got a bit of joining up to do.
Well, of course, it is early days. This just has come out in the last week or so. So, of course, there's going to be some things to iron out. That being said, in my opinion, for it being so early of days compared to what compared to what Netflix was in its early days, it's not too horrible. Like I said, once you find that audio and subtitles area and find that audio description selection, it then stays on with every audio described title that you go and play. It is unfortunate that Amazon isn't having the audio description on by default by recognizing that you have audio description flagged in your accessibility settings. I think that's the key. That's the key to making it not just accessible, but easier for the folks that you're talking about that say, well, you know, I'm going to try it once, maybe twice. If it doesn't work, I'm done. if it just would work out of the box like Netflix does with iTunes as well, where it recognizes that audio description flag and accessibility, that would make it so much nicer. And hopefully they'll eventually add that. I presume that that'll be something that they will add support for eventually. But right now, like I said, worst case scenario, you may have to just restart the app, maybe even restart your phone. And I did that once with one particular program, and it did end up showing up in the audio and captions area where it wasn't there when I went the first time. When I restarted everything, the description option was there the second time. So it might be some trial and error, but once it works, it does work. I think that's the other point I want to make is once you get it working, it works very well. It's very nicely done, and it is accessible once you got it going.
Ah, come on. I mean, Tim, you know, this is great. You sound so positive about all of this, but you know, if I was buying, say I bought a car and the wheels kept falling off, I'd think no. This isn't very good, is it? You know, this isn't ideal. And then you take it to the dealer and say, well, you know, it's early days. We'll get it right eventually. We'll figure out how to make the wheels stay on. You'd be thinking, well, that's no good. And that's kind of where we are with things. Things just aren't working properly. I mean, like I say, going into a menu system, being unable to even find the audio and subtitles menu using the VoiceView software, you know, that's I don't know if it's laziness. I don't know if it's they just haven't thought this through, if they haven't done enough user testing. I don't know what it is, but why are these things just not right out of the box? I mean, it just seems ridiculous. Sean, back me up here. You agree with me on this, surely.
I must apologise, Tim, for... I don't know what's the matter with Stephen today. He's so harsh. Of course not. Look, like Tim said, it's early days. Okay, that's not an excuse, but it is a reason. It's early days. When Netflix started, like we've already said, it was the same sort of thing. Some had it. One thing I want to double check with you, Tim, is you say that it does stay on. So say you go first time onto Amazon Video, you find the elusive audio and subtitles button, you double tap on that, or click on it, depending on what platform you're on, and you find the English audio described option, and turn that on. Now, once you do that once for one program, you shouldn't have to do that again. That should persist throughout every other program that has audio description.
That's been my experience. I actually tested that on purpose after talking to some people online and some blindness message boards who said that they seem to have a problem with that sometimes with Netflix, where even though Netflix detects that audio description is flagged, and even though you might have it playing in one show, they may go to something that's not described and then come back to a described program and it turns off. And so I purposefully tested that with Amazon on my phone, and it was fine. I played, I believe it was Mozart in the Jungle, played an episode of that, and it was described. I went to a couple random movies, another random show that I knew would not have description. And then I went to a totally different program that was described, that I knew would be described, and the description played right away. So it did not have a problem going from one show to another, one movie to another, described or not. The description stayed on once I turned it on. So I did make sure to test that on purpose.
Just to clarify, though, what you're saying is that was on your phone. So you did that on one device, whereas if you were to go to another device, say an iPad or an Android device, you would have to then go again and switch on audio description on that device. It doesn't cross devices.
I can't say yes or no to that because I haven't tested it on a Kindle yet. I wanted to test it on the Kindle, and I haven't had a chance, unfortunately, yet to do that to see if it follows my profile. But I don't know. My guess is that you're probably right. It may not follow you, but I don't know if it's attached to your profile or if it's attached to that device. And so that's going to be obviously the question there to test. And that's something I want to mention that you talked about earlier, Stephen, that it could be device specific at this point. Your experience on an iPhone, because of how they've programmed it for the iPhone, might be different than the stick, might be different than a Kindle, just because Amazon's having to program this for every one of these devices. And so again, like Sean said, early days is not necessarily an excuse, but it is something to consider that they are programming this for many different devices, that it might just be a use case. It might not be user error, just use case between those different devices and finding it. Like I said, my personal experience on my phone was pretty smooth. Other than the one time I had to restart, I was actually very positive, or I felt very positive about the experience just based on what I did on my phone. I wouldn't necessarily maybe have that same experience on Kindle or stick if it's not programmed as nicely. But so far, the iPhone programming is pretty good.
I guess we'll find out, though, as more people try it, because I'm the same. I've only tried it using the app on my iPhone. So I haven't tried it on a website yet. I haven't tried it on, the Apple TV when it does come to the Apple TV. I wonder how it works on that. So the early days reasoning, I suppose, would cover the different apps on different platforms. But another thing is, how easy is it to find? You know, that thing of finding a movie you want to watch, actually having to start it and then see if the audio description option is there, is, you know, it's a pain, it's frustrating. Is there an actual category for audio described content in the Amazon app?
Not that I have seen so far. What I've used personally is the ACB or Audio Description Project website, which I believe is audiodescriptionproject.org, maybe. I'm not sure. You guys can check me on that. But I've checked the Audio Description Project website, and they have a complete listing of all the shows with description. They say that they will update that, I believe, weekly as they find shows that are described. So that's what I've used so far, similar to how we did in the early days of Netflix, where they didn't have a category there either and just had to go check those kind of resources online. But to my knowledge, I've not found a category for audio description.
I'll tell you one thing that's good about the Amazon Fire Stick as well is that when you go into a program, it tells you if the program has subtitles before it starts, before you actually hit play. If they add audio description to that, some kind of banner that says audio description on it, then you would know that before you even start the program. I use that a lot on Sky Television in the UK because it has the little AD bug that's on the screen, so you can, if you can see it, which I can, or at least I'm aware of what it is. At least I think it says AD. but, you know, it seems to apply. It has that as well on the, as I say, on the audio, on, I think it also does that on iTunes as well. It says audio description in the subject as well. So, you know, there are other ways to find out. But you're right, Sean. I mean, it would be good to have a dedicated menu. Interestingly, we had an email about this, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Tim. We had an email on this a few weeks back saying, you know, one of the annoying things about having a menu system, an audio description menu, like the way they do in Netflix currently, where you have all the programs that have audio description listed, is that it doesn't separate that menu out into genres. It sort of suggests that if you're blind, you'll just watch anything because it's got AD on it. And while that's probably true, actually, you know, what I'm thinking is, wouldn't it be better to have some kind of genre-specific menu underneath audio description? What do you think of that, Tim?
I completely agree. I can understand in an early days, again, that phrase of saying, well, we only have 100 or 150 or 200 programs that have description, so we're just going to throw them in a list. But, you know, there does come a time when that list starts to become so big, we really do need to have it broken down. So I completely agree that at this point, especially on Netflix and even with Amazon so far, they're already at 125 programs, you know, between shows and movies that are described. I think that's a good enough number that they really could already be breaking them down in the category. So I completely agree with you. It'd be a lot easier to navigate that list if you had a category breakdown.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's great that we've got that option there, having that category of audio described content. But just going through them all can be a bit of a chore. So it'd be nice if they did go that extra step and give you the chance to filter them down. But hey, who knows? You know, it may happen. If Netflix do it, you can bet the others will copy.
We do this all the time, don't we? It's like, you know, when Android brought out accessibility, it was like, be like Apple. And then, you know, now Amazon are doing audio description. It's like, be like Netflix. This is all we do. We just, you know, we sort of compare it to others. But, you know, we have to do that because we kind of want to say, look, this is obviously an example of it working well. You know, can you do the same on your platform? That's all we're looking for.
Well, we've done the same thing with the announcement of the HomePod, haven't we? Where we've all said, okay, this sounds great, but is it going to do what Echo does? You know, so it's the same discussion with these different types of technology and the way they implement it. It's like, okay, this sounds great, Apple, but is the quality really going to be as good as Sonos? Is it really going to react as good as Amazon Echo? You know, so we do that with a lot of different things.
Yeah, but I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm not saying, you know, do what Netflix have done, because
I am.
Netflix have fallen into the same sort of traps. You know, the general list of audio described content. The rolling out where they started with the Netflix originals first, which is what Amazon have done. The rollout, there's no specific, okay, it'll be available in the US on this date, it'll be available in the UK at this date. You know, it's at the moment, we're just saying, well, try it and see if it's there.
Yeah. But I think that's the other problem with Amazon as well. And Tim, you know, alluded to this earlier. You know, you have the menus where there's content, and again, going back to the Fire Stick, you know, the way it lays out the content, it's clearly labeled Prime content. So if you've got a Prime subscription to Amazon, you know you can watch that content. But then additionally, there are other material in there, other content on there that you can buy, which I must admit, it's a lot better than it used to be. That's one thing they've really improved upon. There was a time when it was very difficult to understand what was not free to watch, but what was part of your subscription to watch and what wasn't. I remember always thinking, oh, I fancy watching that. And then, 20 quid, please. What?
Yeah,
so, right. You know, that seems to have cleared itself up. But there's still a little bit of ambiguity in amongst all of that. And then, of course, you add audio description into the mix. And some of that content will have it. And some of the subscription stuff will have it. And it's very confusing. So, yeah, we do need it broken down to some degree. But, you know, let's not hammer Amazon too much for this. I certainly don't want to hammer them too much. I'm just glad they're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Amazon seemed to have, you know, really picked up on accessibility lately with, you know, how they're maturing Voice View and bringing it to other platforms as well. And now this seems like they're really making an effort.
And whether it's that they've found that there is a market here for it, or they just find that, oh, well, we should be doing this, honestly, doesn't really matter. The fact that they're doing it is really what matters, and that we're able to utilize the better functionality with Voice View and now this audio description. And quite honestly, I hate to say the word again, but Netflix only did this just a short time ago. Amazon's just now following suit. Really, even other than iTunes, nobody else is doing this. You can't go to, say, HBO Go or any of those other similar apps and get audio description as of yet, not even for their original programming. So, again, we're only talking about a couple of companies out of many more that could be doing this that aren't yet. So I'm hopeful, optimistic a little, that maybe this will start to roll downhill a little bit more, and other you know, companies, other movie channels and things will start to pick up on this and do it as well. I can only hope.
One of the things that I was giving Netflix high praise for when it brought out audio description was not just the fact that it did it, but that it seemed to really go all in with it, and it made really good attempts at audio description. I mean, the quality of audio description was pretty stunning, actually. You know, the detail, the level of information. I mean, I watched Making a Murderer, which was a very complicated and you know, difficult series to watch. There was so much information on the screen to take in, and you had to take that information in. And they delivered it in such a concise and clear way that without being able to see the screen, I was able to fully understand what was going on. And I'm not entirely sure that companies in the UK are doing as good a job at that. I just wonder, from what you've heard from the audio description, maybe you haven't heard enough, but, you know, from your point of view, Tim, how is Amazon's AD? What do you think of the quality of it?
In the few shows that I've tried out so far, I've actually been very surprised at the quality, although, as I noted on Twitter to some people I was talking to about this, that the couple of shows that I listened to were described by WGBH, who has a long-standing history of doing good audio description. They know what they're doing. They've been doing this for a long time. I know other companies do audio description for Amazon, as well as Netflix. They have several different companies that do audio description, from what I have come to understand. And in the couple of shows that I listened to on Amazon, they were done well. They didn't step on dialogue in the shows. They made sure to talk in between things going on, in between action. I believe they didn't even duck the audio, which I know people have different opinions on that. I'm not a fan of ducking the audio of the program to put the description in. I don't mind it just being part of the show. I think sometimes when you duck the audio and bring it back up again, you might miss things. And so the couple of the programs I listened to, they didn't duck the audio. They didn't talk over dialogue. And so far, again, only the couple of things I've listened to were done very, very well. I was very happy with it.
There is an art to it, isn't there? You said there, Tim, about people stepping on dialogue. I watched a movie the other week, and that's exactly what happened. And it really took you out of it, you know, because he would say something and it would be while the actor was still speaking. You know, well, I don't know what he said. And it's really, when it's bad audio description, you really notice it. And when it's good, you don't. It is important.
Well, and a lot of times when they do step on the dialogue, if you listen to the end of the description, sometimes, or most of the time in my experience, there's still space that they could have said it maybe a couple seconds later after the dialogue was over. Yeah. They didn't have to step on it. If you really listen to it and listen to the timing, they could have waited a couple more seconds and had been just fine. And so I don't know why they do that. I don't know why it lines up that way. But you're right. You can definitely tell the difference between good or maybe not so good audio description.
Okay, Tim, well, I think we're all agreed that generally it's a great thing. You know, we can't get enough audio description. And the old phrase, it's early days, keeps coming up. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But Tim, thank you so much for joining us. And if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
Probably the easiest way to get information about me is just go to lifeafterblindness.com. There you can get links to my podcast, Life After Blindness. You can also find my contact page there to look for me on Twitter and Facebook and find my email. So just go to lifeafterblindness.com.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
I appreciate it, Sean and Stephen. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for downloading the Tech Talk podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.